The AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Wall Street major indexes plunged after reports of worries among consumers and businesses about the President Trump-Elon Musk mass layoffs. President Trump says Americans are thrilled with his policies. Republican lawmakers home in their districts getting a different reaction.
I'll pause whenever you want, and you can go and yell all you want, but I can't understand 10 people, let alone 100 people at once.
In Georgia, Republican Congressman Rich McCormick at a town hall event. In a post on Truth Social, President Trump announcing he is firing the current chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Q.C. Brown, nominating Air Force Lieutenant General Dan Raisin Kane to replace him. Accused healthcare executive shooter Luigi Mangione has pleaded not guilty in New York. ABC's Trevor Ault.
The judge did not yet set a date for Mangione's state trial. He is also due to appear in court next month on federal charges. But Mangione's supporters online have now raised well over $500,000 for his defense fund.
This is ABC News. A New Jersey man has been convicted of attempted murder for stabbing the author Salman Rushdie on a New York lecture stage in 2022. The jury also found 27-year-old Hadi Mader guilty of assault. Rushdie was the key witness in the trial. Forever 21, reports say, is gearing up to file for bankruptcy a second time, planning on closing 200 locations. More from ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
A Forever 21 spokesperson tells us it continues to explore strategic options, including a potential sale. The efforts are ongoing and no final decisions have been made. But this is a retailer that made its name offering low-cost clothing. It has struggled to win over shoppers amid competition from brands like Uniqlo and H&M and from Chinese retailers online like Shein and Temu that can offer even lower prices.
Forever 21 last filed for bankruptcy protection in 2019. The mother of the late rapper and Notorious B.I.G. has died. Valletta Wallace was 78. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Reggie Jackson, the Milwaukee historian and teacher, travels the state sharing Black history while challenging what you think you already know.
Invited to all these communities around the state. These people don't know much about the African-American experience, and so they asked me to come and share some of that with them. To talk about things related to African-American history, race and racism, things of that nature. I've been to over 50 communities around the state of Wisconsin. People like the message that I sent. They think it's credible information. It's been one of the greatest joys of my life, and it's been a great journey. And I've appreciated all of those folks that I work with in all those different communities engaging in conversations about really important things to them.
Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks with a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks beating the Clippers at Fiserv Forum, 116-110. Giannis Antetokounmpo back after missing six games, leading the team with 23 points in just 24 minutes of playing time. Head coach Doc Rivers, though, pleased with the team's defensive performance in the fourth quarter.
I thought we guarded the ball. I thought our length was a major factor out there. I thought Brooke, Jericho, Giannis, Kuz, all just their length. That was big for us.
College basketball, Marquette on the road against Villanova. Shaka Smart says whenever the Golden Eagles play at home, he's inspired by the banner that honors two former coaches.
I look up in the rafters and I just think about those guys, and I think about Al McGuire and Hank Raymond's. Just what they put into this program, how they created success, the fact that they went through adversity just like we do. Their road wasn't always a smooth one.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Trust fund kid Elon Musk has drawn a lot of political criticism lately, but now he's under fire for being a bad parent from his own father. Errol Musk appeared on the Wide Awake podcast and said that his son will probably shoot him for saying this, but Elon is not a good father. This comes after rumors that Musk had fathered a 13th child, somehow with 16 women. Should probably fact check that. It's important to note that just a couple years ago, Errol Musk admitted to having a second child with his stepdaughter, who was only 4 years old when he married the child's mother, according to Rolling Stone. Errol and the girl's mom have two children of their own, as Musk apparently wanted his future baby mama to have playmates. For the record, Rolling Stone also reported that Elon Musk is not a fan of his father. He called him a terrible human being who has done every evil thing or crime you could possibly imagine, which is probably why they decided not to have kids together. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and not as cold tonight, a low of 5 to 10. Mostly sunny and warmer tomorrow, a high around 30 and near 40 with increasing clouds Sunday. Much above average temperatures continue through next week with some minor chances for rain. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Joining the revolution this week, we've got WISDEM's chairman Ben Wickler. Be sure to tune in.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cut and cut. Hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadigi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Yes, we are. Hey, we have a jam-packed show. We got Little Moments Count on today, and then also Wendy Pilot with their sacred animal portion of the show. Why don't we start off right away with that clip that you've done as the great producer you are with Indian Collective. Can we take a quick listen to that, Haley? And by the way, welcome.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. I just want to do a little preface of the video that we're about to play here. This is from Indian Collective, and they've been so great with emailing us updates and all of the happenings that's going on with Leonard Peltier and his homecoming. So this is Leonard's speech in his homecoming that happened on Wednesday in North Dakota. Grab your tissues.
I spent 49 years straight in prison for something I didn't do and was not really legally convicted of. I didn't think I was going to make it. I'm 80 years old now. I was a young man when I went in. I was 32. So I'm proud of the positions I've taken to help fight for our rights, the survival. I'm so proud of the showing and support you've given me. I got a hard time keeping myself from crying. I'm also a strong believer that a strong warrior can't be up there crying in front of his people. So it was full of shock and surprising to see all of you lined up there and welcoming me home, you know, from the day one. From the first hour I was arrested, Indian people came to my rescue from all over the country, especially the United States, and they've been behind me ever since. I got some restrictions that I got to do, but it's a lot better in a cell. In a prison cell. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Geez, we could celebrate all week on this, Haley. Good clip.
Yeah.
And just emotional. And, you know, we had him on the show a couple of years ago, and we're going to have to change his intro that we play.
Yeah, because that was him still in Coleman 1 Penitentiary, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You know, we got a lot of news. It's Friday and a lot of crazy stuff's going on, but that's a positive thing. And we have a positive rest of the show. And I believe we have an update from the governor of Wisconsin, the great governor of Wisconsin, Mr. Evers. And why don't we take a listen to that?
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. We're not even 50 days into 2025, but my administration and I have been hard at work doing the right thing for Wisconsin. I'm excited tonight to be able to share some of the good work we've been doing, including laying out our state's policy priorities for the next 2 years. Our budget includes my comprehensive plan to lower costs from childcare to medication to help working families, seniors, and students. I'm also providing nearly $2 billion in tax relief, including eliminating income tax on tips, and my plan invests in public education at every level while holding the line on property taxes to make sure the average homeowner will not see a property tax increase. I'm announcing plans to stop price gouging on prescriptions and crack down on insurance companies for denying Wisconsinites medical bill claims. I also want to invest in fighting PFAS and lead and getting contaminants out of our land, service lines, bubblers, schools, homes, and child care centers for good. And we're going to keep fixing the darn roads and infrastructure, building more affordable housing, keeping our kids, families, and communities safe, and expanding high-speed internet. The budget I'm proposing balances our priorities of investing in our kids and needs that have been long neglected while providing real and sustainable tax relief and saving where we can. So let's get to work. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Wow, great rousing speech and some great clips that he sent us. We appreciate it. Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin, and his crew. Pretty exciting things to talk about. And I know Governor Evers is out behind all the 11 tribes, recognized tribes in Wisconsin, too. So he has a great relationship with them.
That's true. And that's great to hear. And I don't know where Wisconsin would be without the leadership of Tony Evers right now. I'm sure in a much worse place. Yeah. So very thankful for Governor Tony Evers, and shout out all of our Wisconsin listeners too. We're on Civic Media. So it's important that we air out Governor Evers' messages. So again, thank you for tuning into that one this week.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we have this weekend an anniversary of a community victory, 2023 occupation of the Roof Depot site in Minneapolis off Longfellow Avenue and East 27th Street. You know, that anniversary celebrates on February 23rd from 1 to 3. So that celebration is from 1 to 3, gathering outside the Roof Depot warehouse to honor community residents and resilience. Speakers and food will be on site. This post coming from East Phillips Urban Farmers. And that was a big battle, Haley, and great that they're celebrating. I know there's more things to happen, but we, you know, we're sick of poisoning our neighbors with having these foundries right in the middle of BIPOC neighborhoods.
Yeah. I'm so happy that that was able to get shut down, and with the help and because of, you know, community resistance and resilience. And I'm sure that'll be a great gathering, too. I think you also sent me something which I heard was in the works to be happening this weekend in Minneapolis. That is the second annual Intertribal Snow Snake Gathering. And that's that snow snake game that we were talking, I think, a little bit about yesterday.
Hard for you to say, I think.
Snow snake. Yeah,
three
it is.
Times really fast.
Snow snake, snow snake, snow snake. Oh, I did it, I think.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Good. Are you going to go to that? This Intertribal Snow Snake Gathering will be happening both Saturday and Sunday this weekend. Saturday from 4:30 to 9 p.m., so a little bit later. There's also going to be a 5 p.m. community potluck on Saturday, as well as intertribal teachings at 6. Sunday from 10 to 4. And where is this going to be? This will be at the Carl W. Croning Nature Center, part of North Mississippi Regional Park.
Yeah, 4900 Mississippi Drive in Minneapolis. And I'm going to give it a shot for sure. And, you know, I'm delicate, but I'll get those boots on and some gloves and get my snow snake. Ooh, that is hard to say.
Snow snake, right? I know. Yeah. If you're not thinking about it, it's hard to just roll off the tongue. I saw our friend Bill Quackenbush was out there in, I think it was, where it was? He was in Wisconsin last weekend, and they were doing some type of tournament, the same thing, and it looked really fun. So check that out this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know where we heard this. Was somebody said that Bill is defeated, so I don't know.
Ojibwe.
Was I dreaming? Ooh. I don't know. Half the time, I don't know if we're doing a show or if I'm dreaming and it's nap time. And are we live?
Yes, we are.
Awesome. Good to know. It's Friday. Friday fun day.
Fun here. Friday.
And we got a little difference here. State Senator Mary Kunish was not able to be with us today. She's traveling.
Yeah.
But we're looking forward to next week's update that she always sends us. But we got little moments count going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to be joined with back with Beth Ann Hadbin Dodds and Ashley Bunker with All Nations Rise talking about the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative.
Well, let's do it. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Ho.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Are you experiencing troubles with thinking, comprehending, or speaking? Have post-COVID brain fog, ADHD, concussion, tremors from Parkinson's, mental health issues, or simply striving to maximize your brain's potential? At Hypercharge Wellness Centers, we deliver transformative results for the brain. Hypercharge Wellness's brain fitness protocol utilizes cutting-edge modalities, including PEMF, red light therapy beds, and transcranial laser, which all work together to improve focus and cognitive functions. These treatments aim to improve the brain's blood flow and electrical patterns, which reduces anxiety and enhances relaxation, providing a comprehensive approach to brain health optimization. All are invited to experience this life-changing journey towards achieving the pinnacle of cognitive and emotional well-being. Call or go online to schedule your free Hypercharge Wellness introductory session valued at $200 today. This is your opportunity to feel the difference for yourself. No matter where you are in the Twin Cities, there is a convenient location near you. Visit hyperchargeclinic.com now. That's hyperchargeclinic.com. Hypercharge is hope.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
Thank you, Haley. And, you know, we're excited to continue our partnership with NPR and the Little Moments Count to host conversations focused on early childhood development. Today, we are here with Beth Ann Hadbin Dodds and Ashley Bunker. And I want to jump right into it and welcome Beth Ann. You've been on before. It's great to see you again. Big who. And nice to meet you, Ashley. Ho-wa.
Hello.
Thank you for having us. We're happy to be here.
Hey, let's get going on this. Beth Ann and is program manager, and Ashley as a graduate of Phase One facilitator. Can you give us an overview of the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative, including, you know, what it aims to achieve and your specific roles?
Yeah, thanks, Robert. We're so happy to be here. The Indigenous Parent Leadership is a program by All Nations Rise, and we're located in Bagley, Minnesota, right outside the White Earth Reservation. And I like to use the acronym IPLI. IPLI is a 23-week program specific right now to the White Earth Nation that integrates child development, leadership, democracy skills, and Ojibwe culture into a parent curriculum that helps empower the parent voice. And one of the big main components of the initiative is an individual community project. And this is their opportunity to take the skills that they have gained and bring it out into the community to create some positive change on behalf of children and families. And wow. Ashley is a cohort one graduate and is now a certified National Parent Leadership Training Institute facilitator. And we're so proud of Ashley and her gaining those skills and coming back and giving back to her community through being a facilitator.
Awesome. Ashley, I think we're having a little audio problems with you. Give us a check here.
Hello, can you hear me?
It sounds like the window's open, but we can hear you. There's a fan or something in the background.
It might be my furnace.
Okay, let's do it. So, welcome, Ashley. You sound pretty good. Let's do it. It's always good to have the young ones jump in, and I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing. Telling us a little bit about what, Ashley, you being a graduate, what that's all about.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going really well. We all are learning from each other. I feel the participants may feel this too. And if they decide that this is something that they want to do in the future, we are going to be looking for more facilitators to join us on this journey. You know, and the one thing that I really like about this is that you don't have to be an expert in facilitating. It's a learning process as you go. I think the realization can make this experience more comfortable for the participants. It also provides hope and inspiration. And of course, our end goal is to excel in facilitating, but that's part of the learning process. And it's really unique that we just can come together and be able to learn from one another. And I'm learning a lot from the participants. They're really, they're outgoing, they're passionate, and you can see that within our participants, and it's just a really good feeling to see and be a part of.
Wow, that is exciting. You know, with the cohort progress, as you are currently at week eight of the cohort number three in the White Earth Nation, what are some of the highlights or key topics the participants have covered so far?
Go ahead, Ash. Okay, so we've covered, some of the what ACEs were and what that looked like, and kind of giving them a little overview of what that is. And what we are finding that some of our participants didn't know, but then there was others that did. So then they were able to exchange thoughts and what that looked like for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the adverse childhood experiences, you know, our scores are rather high in a tribal community, and we recognize that. And one thing that we also offer in addition to helping them learn about ACEs is we're also offering opportunities to integrate positive adult experiences and positive childhood experiences. And we do that not only through some curriculum, but we're also doing it on a cultural level. We talk about the generational trauma. We talk about the historical trauma. We talk about those elephants in the room, and we face them together as a whole, facilitators and participants, because we're all coming from the White Earth community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. Can we talk a little bit about your certification journey, Ashley? Can you share your experience of becoming a facilitator and getting certified by the National Parent Leadership Institute? What was all involved in that?
So we were able to travel to Connecticut, where it was a national training, and we were able to meet different communities that were doing this the same thing, and they had just a wonderful I think it was a 3-day training where we learned how to facilitate and implement that in our community. So that was a really good experience, and to bring it back to our community.
Wow, that is so important, and you have to give it away to keep it, and we talk about that all the time, Beth Ann, don't we?
Yeah, we do. You know, I feel like the proud auntie often while I'm in class, and wanting to celebrate them for turning around and wanting to help their community, give it back. Not only are they doing it through becoming facilitators, but our graduates, one of the main components is a community project. And mm-hmm. community projects range from implementing a talking circle to going to Washington and sitting in and presenting at a congressional briefing. Ashley had that opportunity this past year to travel to Washington. And Ashley, maybe you want to share a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, of course. When I went to Washington, where I was called to participate on the congressional briefing, focused on breaking the link between child welfare and poverty and sharing my experiences in hopes for creating change. You know, this was a very valuable experience for me. And hoping to create that change within our communities. And while we were there, there was a graduate, myself and another graduate, we were going down Washington Mall, and we decided to jump on scooters. And here I was riding down Washington Mall wearing my ribbon skirt. And in that moment, I felt really empowered because I was wearing my traditional clothing. And just knowing that I was going to a place that was essentially going to create positive change. And so it was just a really good experience overall.
Well, Ashley, I can picture that. That's a beautiful sight. And I think of our relatives hundreds of years ago going to Washington and speaking their minds and giving out good medicine to those politicians in Washington. So, Ashley, that's beautiful. Yeah, Beth, I just picture that. It's just unbelievably beautiful in my mind.
We have a picture of that, so we'll send it over to you guys so you can see her on her scooter in her ribbon skirt.
Yeah,
definitely. And so we are here talking, and what's really cool, Beth Ann, is that a lot of what we're talking about, and it's great that your program's still going on, that is very familiar to me. I don't know how long ago you've been on, but it's great and having somebody like Ashley here and doing the work that you guys have been talking about for a long time now, it seems.
Yeah, you know, the ripple effect, we're adding 9 more at the end of cohort 3. There will be 30 graduates now. And you can imagine, Robert, the ripple effect that happens when there are 30 individuals that are giving it back to their community and wanting to help in their own way towards making the place a better experience for children and families. And wow. Yeah.
Wow. That's beautiful. And I can't wait to ask you some more questions too here. You know, we are with our guest today, Beth Ann Hedman Dodds and Ashley Bunker, and we're talking now.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Wall Street major indexes plunged after reports of worries among consumers and businesses about the President Trump, Elon Musk mass layoffs. President Trump says Americans are thrilled with his policies. Republican lawmakers home in their districts getting a different reaction.
I'll pause whenever you want, and you can go and yell all you want, but I can't understand 10 people, let alone 100 people at once.
In Georgia, Republican Congressman Rich McCormick at a town hall event. In a post on Truth Social, President Trump announcing he is firing the current chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Q.C. Brown, nominating Air Force Lieutenant General Dan Raisin Kane to replace him. Accused healthcare executive shooter Luigi Mangione has pleaded not guilty in New York. ABC's Trevor Ault.
The judge did not yet set a date for Mangione's state trial. He is also due to appear in court next month on federal charges. But Mangione's supporters online have now raised well over $500,000 for his defense fund.
This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks with a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks beating the Clippers at Fiserv Forum, 116-110. Giannis Antetokounmpo back after missing six games, leading the team with 23 points in just 24 minutes of playing time. Head coach Doc Rivers, though, pleased with the team's defensive performance in the fourth quarter.
I thought we guarded the ball. I thought our length was a major factor out there. I thought Brooke, Jericho, Giannis, Kuz, all just their length. That was big for us.
College basketball, Marquette on the road against Villanova. Shaka Smart says whenever the Golden Eagles play at home, he's inspired by the banner that honors two former coaches.
I look up in the rafters and I just think about those guys, and I think about Al McGuire and Hank Raymond's. Just what they put into this program, how they created success, the fact that they went through adversity just like we do. Their road wasn't always a smooth one.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. More odd yet not surprising news from the Kanye West camp. The New York Post reports that those close to Kanye say he is inhaling nitrous oxide, or laughing gas. Love that stuff. The Post reports that the drug was a major issue between West and recently estranged wife Bianca Censori. According to the Post, West reps are blaming his dentist, Thomas Connolly, for getting him hooked on nitrous again because it messes up his memory, adding that Connolly wants to steal millions of dollars from the rapper. How much cash does Kanye carry on him when he goes to the dentist? Yeah, I'm talking to you. One of the most famous scenes from the film Taxi Driver was Robert De Niro's character, Travis Bickle, asking that very question. De Niro recently appeared on Live with Mark and Kelly and said the whole scene was improvised. Bobby Dee was nominated for an Oscar for the role. Plans for a sequel to Taxi Driver were ultimately scrapped in 2013 because Martin Scorsese was unhappy with the script. Apparently, there were not enough ad-libs in the world to save it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and not as cold tonight, a low of 5 to 10. Mostly sunny and warmer tomorrow, a high around 30 and near 40 with increasing clouds Sunday. Much above average temperatures continue through next week with some minor chances for rain. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, the U.S. Supreme Court prevents Trump from firing the head of a watchdog agency. Also, are we headed to a market correction? Plus, who are the leaders standing up for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Anin. I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Count. Nearly 80% of brain growth happens in the first 1,000 days, and small moments of interaction, like talking, playing, reading, and singing, help create the pathways that build a child's brain during this early stage of life. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
Wow. Thank you, Haley. And thank you, Beth Ann Hedman Dodds, Indigenous Parents Leadership Initiative Program Manager with All Nations Rise, and Ashley Bunker, IPLI graduate and former facilitator. Hey, welcome back, you guys. And I wanted to talk about community projects. And one important aspect of IPLI is individual community projects. Can you both explain how these projects work and share examples of what participants are creating and to make an impact in their communities? And I'll start with you, Beth Ann.
Sure. So All Nations Rise offers a $500 grant to our graduates. They have to apply for it, and they have to work through that whole process of applying for a grant, and that money goes towards their project. It doesn't go straight to the individual, but it goes to support the project. So we have had graduates use it to take classes. There are a few who have used the White Bison training and become facilitators to help with like Mothers of Tradition classes, 12-step classes, where they're coming back and they're implementing that into their communities, their villages on the reservation. We have had the money be used towards hygiene kits for individuals who are entering in to treatment on a Rule 25 with nothing on their back. One of our graduates wanted to make sure that individuals who were going that course were equipped with the hygiene that's needed to feel good about themselves. That, you know, she was an individual who experienced that herself. And just we take some things for granted sometimes, don't we? And having a hairbrush or feminine hygiene products, a toothbrush, hairspray, you know, some of those things make us feel good. And she wanted to make sure that she was doing that for them as well. Ashley, I'll let Ashley tell you about her community project and how she's doing on that in her community.
Yeah. So my community project is about Aaron's Law, and what Aaron's Law is a prevention of child sexual abuse. And what that is that I would like to implement that in our local schools. I did get a chance to present a PowerPoint to some of the school faculty and the school board in Minomen here. And we're just kind of figuring out where we could implement Aaron's Law and just still working on those details. So that's part of my project that I'm working on. And what I found out during my research and calling the local schools, nobody heard about Aaron's Law. They didn't know what it was. So I feel like it's really important and crucial for our kids to start learning about those things and how to prevent and speak up for themselves if they find themselves in a situation. It's to help them bring their voices and use their voice.
Yeah, a lot of time we have to educate the community. I appreciate that, Ashley. That's very powerful. Beth Ann, what is in the new Indigenous Children's Leadership Initiative, the ICLI, being introduced here in the next cohort 3, and how does that benefit both parents and children?
Yeah, so we are using the Children's Leadership Training Institute curriculum, which is a division of the National Parent Leadership Training Institute, and ICLI is a component that offers children ages 3 to 12 to learn right alongside their parents. They're down the hall, but they're learning the same curriculum brought down to their level. We follow the same class format. They discuss civic topics. And then the way that we bring culture into the classroom for them is we are using Indigibox, which is our sister agency, Indigenous Visioning, created Indigibox, which is culture in the classroom, Ojibwe culture in the classroom for preschool, early education through grade 3. So it fits nicely with our group of kids. We have a small but mighty group. We have five children enrolled in the initiative right alongside their parents. And they also do a community project, and they're doing a group community project. Wow. And I just got word their community project, they've made the decision as of last week, they will be creating personal packages, kind of like a hygiene kit, but they're going to work with the homeless shelter in Manoamin. And they have some research to do. They're going to go there, talk with the individuals that work there, try to understand what is needed, and then they're going to do a drive and collect all of these items. One thing I did hear that was very specific that they wanted to offer was a blanket. So there will be a lot of other things that are, I'm assuming, added into. Oh, they also said it needed to be a duffel bag. So I'm sure there's a lot of things that will be added into the duffel bag. And I want to give Ashley the opportunity. Her son is enrolled in the Children's Initiative. Her husband is a participant. Mm-hmm. And so, Ashley, maybe you could give a little perspective on Atticus's experience in the initiative.
Cool name.
Yeah, sure. Atticus, you know, he's a really good kid. He has a big heart. And, you know, it started back when we were traveling. We went to Arizona last year, and he had seen some, you know, homeless on the street, and he was asking questions. And so then we had to explain, explain to him that he was homeless and people have barriers and such, and that prevent them from being homeless. And so he's always been a giving kid. He's always wanting to help people out. And so implementing the hygiene kit or the personal kit for the homeless program is something that he really wants to do. I mean, he talks about it, and he wants to, like, he has a really heart for the people. And it's just really good to see that at such a young age, that he just wants to give back. And it's just really incredible to see his growth within the initiative. It gives him confidence, and not only him, but other kids that are there. They're building that foundation of friendship and confidence that we like to see in our children. So, yeah.
Wow, that's powerful. And also a powerful name there. That's beautiful. Next week, IPLI session will focus on the topic, Power of the Media, with Dan Gunderson from Minneapolis Public Radio. Can you discuss what the session will cover and how important media literacy is for parents and children in your community? And Beth Ann, I'm wondering if you can lead it off there.
Yeah, you know, when we're talking about implementing a community project, and some of them are big, some of them are not so big, some of them are medium-sized, it's important to understand, how do I get the word out to my community? How do I let people know what I'm doing? And we turn to media to get that out, social media, letters to the editor in the paper, submitting an article to the local newspaper. So Dan Gunderson has been a huge supporter of the initiative, and is out of the Fargo-Moorhead area, and loves to come into our classroom and help us learn about this. I'd like to offer that experience to you too, Robert. I do know that you do class, or you have your radio show here at about the same time that we're doing class, but we would love to talk about possibly having you join us at some point to talk about that. You know, just knowing that we also have an opportunity to come here on air with you and share the beauty of what's happening in our community. It is, we so appreciate you and your invite.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that too, and we're going to make that happen somehow, hook or crook. I sounded old when I said that, Haley, hook or crook. I probably never heard that, right?
Yeah.
You never heard that. Hey, we only got a couple more questions and a couple more minutes here. What are some effective ways IPLI empowers parents to take an action role in their children's education and community leadership? That's a handful of questions there, Beth Ann.
Right. That's a big one.
Yeah.
You know, the skills that they're learning in the initiative can help them learn how to sit across from the table from people in positions of authority. And that can be as, being able to sit with their child's teacher and discuss the IEP or sit at a parent-teacher conference and be able to advocate for their child and their child's needs. And it goes all the way to, like Ashley did, going to Washington, D.C. and advocating for policy and systems changes. We do everything in between. It's important for the Indigenous parent voice, those lived experiences, to be at those tables where decisions about Indigenous children and families are made. And the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative is aiming to do just that. And the ripple effects are happening, and we couldn't be prouder of our participants and what they're implementing.
That is exciting, and I'm so glad that this is going on. And finally, you know, what advice would you give other Indigenous communities out there listening, interested in creating similar programs to support their family and their children?
Yeah, you know, we are talking about expansion, and we are happy to share what we are doing and come into the community, the tribal communities, and talk about it and share these experiences and how we're making it work. People can go to our website, allnationsrise.com, and click on the links there to learn more. Get in contact with me, Beth Ann at All Nations Rise. And we are also in the very early stages of exploring, I'm coming down to the cities this weekend, exploring what the National Parent Leadership Institute going across the state of Minnesota. So that's another exciting development that's happening.
Great.
A lot of eyes have been on us, and we're happy to share.
Excellent. Beth Ann and Ashley of Big Peeny Geegi, thank you so much. Little Moments Count and MPR for facilitating this. Great to see you again. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Miigwech.
We'll be right back.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you 2 go-card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
I'm Rachel Schroman, owner of Schroman Law, and I believe you deserve information. Our firm offers free quarterly estate planning seminars at our office in St. Paul. At these seminars, you can learn the basics of estate planning from an attorney to help you determine which estate planning documents will meet your needs and goals in an efficient and cost-effective manner. You can learn more and register at our website, schromanlaw.com/events. That's S-C-H-R-O-M-E-N law.com/events.
I love the Toyota Sienna Hybrid from Rudy Luther Toyota. Safe, roomy, comfortable, and insanely fuel efficient. One thing I haven't mentioned is how good the Sienna is at winter driving. We just had a snowstorm, and my Sienna handled the ice and snow no problem. From getting through the plow pile at the end of the driveway to safely navigating the snow-covered highways, the Sienna is designed to give you a comfortable, safe drive. When winter weather hits, I give myself extra time, but with Sienna's handling and heated seats, extra time is great. Test drive a Sienna today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, this is Frank Brown of Minuteman Press Uptown with a question for our local leaders. How do you reward your employees? How do you appreciate your business partners? Thousands of local organizations just like yours count on Minuteman Uptown for promotional products. We craft custom awards and plaques. We print your logo on apparel, office supplies, and thousands of other items. Minuteman Uptown helps you reward employees and stay top of mind with customers and vendors. We print everything. Contact us today at mpuptown.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How? Here's Wendy with the new sacred animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dagger Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I am a policy volunteer for the Humane World for Animals, and that is a new name, and I'm really excited about it. Their former name was the Humane Society of the United States. They rebranded themselves to Humane World for Animals because really it's not just their mission to help animals in the United States, but it really is a global mission to help animals all over the world. So we talk about all kinds of things like factory farming, the fur trade, animal testing, trophy hunting, puppy mills, rescuing animals from disasters and large-scale cruelty cases. And, you know, the Humane Society of the United States has been around for a long time, since 1954, which I was surprised. I didn't know it was around for that long, but I really love the new name. So look, you know, you'll see advertising for it. You'll see commercials for it. And just know the Humane World for Animals is our new name, and we're excited about it. But today's Friday, so I have some fun facts, and we're going to keep all those other issues, the factory farming, the fur trade, animal testing, trophy hunting, all those important facts there. I'm going to be talking about those in the future, but not today because it's Friday. And we're going to keep it light today. Excuse me. I have like a little frog in my voice here. I'm going to be talking about cats. So I have an article here by Andy Geller, and it is from March 3rd, 2024. And it's a funny article about just fun facts about cats. And going through this, I'm really surprised because I didn't know a lot of these facts about cats. And Robert and I have had cats, for over 20 years. We are catless at the moment. Our last kitty, Lucy, after she passed away, we just have not brought ourselves to get another cat. So we will see about that. I do really have a yearning to have a cat, but we have different circumstances in our life right now. So we just have to figure that out. But here is this article about cats. So this is the article. It says, cat facts even ultimate feline lovers don't know. People all over the world and the internet simply adore cats, but sometimes we just can't seem to understand their little quirks. Do you want to know the reason behind your kitty's unwanted escorts to the toilet, or why they have so many stomach problems, or even why your senior cat suddenly starts purring for no reason? Keep scrolling to find out the more about our favorite furry friends. So here, cats can run faster than Usain Bolt. Have you ever wondered how fast a cat could run? The answer is about 30 miles an hour. This is just slightly faster than the average speed of the Olympian Usain Bolt. He could run as fast as 27 miles an hour. In general, cats are quite fast creatures. However, their biology and genes play an important role when it comes to their speed. How fast can your cat run depends largely on its breed. For example, different breeds of cats run faster than others. Here's another one. Your cat thinks you're bad at hunting. How many times has your cat left its kills lying around? Well, we always had indoor cats, so they didn't go out and hunt. But we did have one cat, Princess, who went down in our basement, and she would find little things, little trinkets, and she would bring them upstairs to us. Or she would go into the laundry room, and this was her favorite thing, and she would hunt around, and she would bring up dirty socks, and she would leave them for us in the middle of the floor. We had socks all over the kitchen floor. This is what she's doing. But don't get mad at your cat for doing that. There is one special reason why your cat's doing this. Your cat leaves its dead prey or things that they're finding around because it really thinks that you stink at hunting. Yes, this is what cat mothers do when they're trying to teach the kittens to hunt. Cats are actually good for your health. If you are a cat lover, you know one. Or you know one, then you probably are aware of the fact of how awesome owning a cat is. However, if you still need more convincing, check this out. Cats can actually be good for your health. It is said that cats are heart-healthy pets. First of all, they require less effort than owning a dog does. And in addition, they are excellent at relieving stress and anxiety. In addition, cat owners tend to have fewer allergies when compared to other people. You know, I'm glad that our grandchildren, Silas and Summer, are being brought up with cats in the house. And they're really interested. And I think it's going to help them, you know, not be allergic to cats. Or, you know, they're just going to get used to those cats. And it's really going to help them. And they come to our house twice a week. They're with us on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And now they're getting used to Wanda, our little dog. So that's great. Cats with six toes are named after Hemingway. Some cats are born with six toes. They are called polydactyl cats. They have a genetic condition called polydactyl, which causes them to be born with extra toes. Ernest Hemingway was given a polydactyl kitten in the 1930s, and he named it Snow White. At that time, Hemingway was living on a small island of Key West, and as a result, the museum that is named after him is filled with Snow White's descendants. Robert and I were actually there and really, we saw some cats in the distance. We didn't see them up close, but they were hanging around the museum. We didn't see them up close, so we didn't see their toes, but I think that's really awesome. Cats are constantly dehydrated. Cats are pretty dry creatures, mostly because they have pet peeves when it comes to their drinking water. In fact, they're so picky that they sometimes will go without drinking for many hours, leading them to become dehydrated. Cats like fresh, clean water, and if their owners don't change their cat's water every day, the furry creatures may find it unsuitable for licking. However, sometimes even that's not enough. The cat will actually prefer drinking the water from a drinking tap, its owner's cup, or even the toilet bowl. Because dehydration in cats can lead to serious kidney problems, it's best to pay attention. Replace the kitty's water supplies daily.
News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
Monday, we kick off at 2 p.m. with a discussion of Maggie's Metrics, what makes local officials and elected judges good, bad, or just downright ugly. We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends. Period.
That is so well put.
Matters.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sabertson. A federal judge has cleared the way for one of the Trump administration's remaining steps in its dismantling of the U.S. agency in charge of foreign aid. President Trump's announcing he's fired General C.Q. Brown as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, nominating General Dan Raisin Kane to replace him. Los Angeles County District Attorney Nathan Hochman denying the Menendez brothers the chance of a new trial, convicted in the 1989 killing of their parents. ABC's Alex Stone.
This is separate from resentencing, another argument that they're making, that they have been rehabilitated in prison. He said he has not decided on that yet. There is a hearing in March where they will talk about resentencing, and he said he'll get around to that and decide in the next couple of weeks.
A federal judge has reopened a lawsuit challenging Louisiana's execution procedures as the state prepares to carry out the death penalty using nitrogen gas in coming weeks. This is ABC News.